store closed early. A hidden bottle came out. Salesman turned to close the blinds. A little slow now, a little step. But you still heading down those tracks any day now for sure.
Welcome tonight to the program. Government endgame controls. Everything going completely bonkers. Greg's back tonight. We're going to talk about new developments. I knew it was going to be a really bad year when Neil Peart died. That was back in January. I knew it was going to be shit. Total shit. And the professor of the drum kit dies. Middletown Dreams. Some of that drum work. Yeah, that's right. Dreams transport those who want to get out of town. I want to get out of town. I cannot stand this shit any longer. It's so incredibly annoying anymore just to fucking hear the nonsense, to see the stories every day that you know that they're lying. You know that all of this is a manufactured lie. A manufactured sack of shit. A manufactured sack of shit. Is that not ringing here? Hey. Hey, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
I'm like,
hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Just the frustration. Yeah, it's been a little bit, but you know, it's I've been doing some shows in here. I just kind of wanted to pitch a few things. Patrick Jordan and I did a show. This Sunday will be 2 weeks since that, and then I've posted. Mikovits, London Real Part 1, Part 2, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with London Real, Ike Part 3, Part 4 of London Real, and Alex Jones, London Real. So that was interesting. As usual, it seems like Jones is getting more, you know, anytime you... people see Jones or look at Jones, they're like, oh, I want to see or hear what fucking, you know, Melonhead has to say. And he still has some pretty interesting things to put out there for sure. You know, they're always the worst case scenario.
Always.
Always the worst case scenario. And so, just like every day, I'm sitting there. I have access to some of these masks, some of these surgical masks. Now, I guess you could say I'm not, you know. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, like I could do this. I can put this mask just over my mouth and have my nose out, and I can breathe. Right. Next thing you know, through Reddit, which is one of these fucking globalist shitholes. These ghettos, these fucking cyber ghettos that somebody who said that China had something to do with or some kind of influence over. And it says, you're defeating the... you know, within 12 hours of me saying it or 24 hours of me thinking it. And it didn't stop me from doing it, but it's just, you know... it says, you're defeating the purpose if you keep your nose out. It's almost like they're just... it's like they want you... to have a lack of oxygen. Even Biden now, there's a picture of him online where he's wearing a mask where he's got a nose hole. Because guess what? You don't want that fucking brain having less oxygen because there is nothing coming out of that fucking pie hole that is making one bit of sense except hate and divide and conquer. That's it, you know? That's it coming out of his mouth. And just, it just rolls out like every day. I was listening to, Del Bigtree today. Once a week he does a show called The High Wire. He had, a Knut, Witkowski on. He had an economist on, and the economist was saying that, you know, here we are 3 or 4 months into this. And the numbers show that the economy is being destroyed. People are dying of things other than COVID. The opioids are going through the roof. Depression, all kinds of different things, which is the goal of the system. It's the goal of the system. We know that.
Sure. So a friend of mine was just murdered.
What?
One of mine was just murdered because of this.
Okay.
He had a hip replacement surgery last year.
Okay.
And the surgery didn't go well. He was having repeated infections.
Okay.
And he was always on, you know, like antibiotics and everything. And then he was, the doctor has suggested that they redo the operation.
Okay.
A new hip replacement. So he went in to, on Monday, or rather Friday, he went in for the surgery.
Right.
And they said, oh, you, they ran a test. He had to come in for a test. They said he had COVID-19. He, I think that was last Thursday, excuse me. He went into the hospital. They didn't do the surgery. They just put him on a preventative system, respirator, whatever.
Yeah.
And Monday morning, he passed away.
And who? And was this somebody that you know very closely?
Personally, I know. A friend of mine, yeah. Personal friend of mine.
Okay.
He's an older gentleman. He's an older gentleman in his 70s, but was in relatively good health other than the infections he was suffering from. But it was just very convenient that, you know, when my friend told me about it and he said, hey, guess what? Stan passed away. COVID-19. I was like, whoa. But my first reaction was, all right, I'm going to call bullshit on this. What exactly happened? He told mm-hmm. me he went in for the hip surgery. They test everybody first and they admitted him. Oh, you got to stay here. And within 3 or 4 days, he was dead.
So, I mean, they're basically just killing people.
Yeah.
Okay, and we've heard that before. And that's not...
proof of that right now? No. Is there proof available to us with the way the system is?
No.
With the fact that once you go into the hospital, you can't have visitors. So nobody can monitor what they're doing. There have already been numerous videos from healthcare workers, like nurses and physician's assistants, who come out and said they're killing people on purpose.
That's right.
The hospitals paid for the COVID-19 stuff. And if they, you know, if you're in any type of, pre-existing condition, their prescriptions are killing people, what they're doing.
So what do you think they gave?
Because they need to get the numbers up. So this is, I have no doubt that, you know.
Right.
They gave him a test, of course, so he's positive. Like 80% of the tests have a false positive rating.
That's right.
And he was dead within days.
And I mean, and that's just not it.
Learned about it today. Yeah,
people getting
shocked about it. He was such a good guy.
People getting calls saying that people that were going somewhere to get tested, and why would you even do that? You know, don't do it. Don't go get tested. Trust, you just don't.
If I had the opportunity to talk to Stan last week, I would say, listen, you don't want to go get surgery until after this COVID-19 thing is blown over. I know you're in pain. I know you're suffering, but, you know, it was something that was scheduled for a while.
Right.
So, just...
I'm sorry to hear that, dude.
It's a really sad situation. He was...
So fucked up.
He's one of my favorite guys local by, you know, around.
Right.
It's a shame that he's gone. It's not even like you can go to a memorial service or anything for him.
No, and this is the plan, right? I mean, this is the plan. They don't want people... they don't want people being able to... you know, see their loved one. I mean, they're really going, completely draconian. I've heard probably at least a half a dozen times now that in Italy, there were a number of people that exhumed, you know, they wanted to find out what was happening with some of the people over in Italy that were dying. And they performed an autopsy, which was, against the law for people to be able to do. And they found out that they died of pulmonary. The people that they looked at, they said that they died of pulmonary embolisms. They died of blood clotting.
Yeah.
So, and I mean that's just the one story. But friggin' air on. It's been so, there's two things that I'm fucking completely finished with: the summer heat and this fucking COVID shit. So fucking sick of it, man. So fucking sick of it, dude. you know, the broadcast studio is, you know, on the second floor, and it's like, it's just insanely hot. And then I had to, I kind of got in, and then I, you know, fell asleep a bit. I messaged you, and then I fell asleep, and then I woke up, and I was just like, oh, I should have put the air on up here for a little while. And then I'm just every day I just find myself, even these just little things that, you know, the summer heat always just kind of annoyed me to a certain level, because it just, when it gets really hot, it just feels like you're trapped. It feels like there's a level of isolation. And I think with this fucking virus shit is, it's just kind of doubling down.
Good, yeah.
And,
but there won't be any relief for that for quite a while.
Oh yeah. I'm pretty
Maybe
sure.
By the end of August, because of the stuff we're going to talk about that I want to speak with you about, bring sure. to the attention of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think is really important, because what's happening right now as we speak is extremely critical.
As far as
geopolitics, as far as
right.
affecting every single person's life.
Yeah, you know? I figured.
And, you know, it brings the picture into focus where, you know, the world stage, the grand chessboard is beginning to be seen, I think, a little bit more clear for what it is.
That's right.
The fog of war, so to speak, has been, you know, has really been upon us since the beginning of the year.
That's right.
And it was one of the reasons why they did the go to, you know, to bail out the Wall Street guys, give them their last hurrah. Because this is all coming down to two things: the tech transfer to Israel, Israel's relationship with Russia and China for the development of the Belt and Road project, which would undercut the U.S.'s power of the seas, because without naval or without seaway transport or transporting goods, the U.S. has really no power.
Right.
So, now I'm not so much worried about what's going on with the Belt and Road Initiative, because it's Chinese construction, which is the worst construction in the world as far as its longevity, its quality of workmanship. The fact that they cut every corner they can and they use subpar materials doesn't really bode well for how long the Belt and Road is actually going to survive without serious breakdowns. For the first 5 years, it will go very well. It should go well enough. But, you know, even if many of the bridges that they're building make it, you know, the rail bridges that they're constructing,
and
all
that's
the
where?
Ravines and the tunnels they're building.
And where is this? Because I'm not super familiar with the Belt Road Initiative, so I mean,
the Belt Road Project is a railway that will go from China, the major city ports of China, and it will go cross land through the Himalayas, right, into Iran, through the Middle East, and then into Israel, and then from Israel it'll go up through into what the greater Israel that is, not Israel today. And we'll go up into Europe. And then there'll be other rails that will go down through into Africa, and which essentially will cut the U.S. off. And the world being run on technology today, it has been really the linchpin or the cornerstone of U.S. power, is our technology industry. Which has now been completely lavished and stolen and been transferred over to Israel.
That's what I read some stories about, how everything's being moved.
That's right.
Or large portions of things are being moved over.
You have Microsoft that has moved over. You have all these big companies have been moved over to Israel with their operations there, which the engineers are Soviets. Okay, the Soviets that were moved to Israel. So what they did is Intel moved one of their operations, their R&D over there, and their latest processing chips are complete garbage. They're filled with traps and back doors,
mm-hmm.
and there's no security in them whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
So the Intel has been sort of, you know, humming along. Everybody thinks they're too big to fail, right?
Right.
Well, this week it was exposed. Their sales have completely plummeted. Their stock is down almost 20%. And the only one that can pick up the slack is Taiwan Semiconductor. They're the only ones that have the manufacturing capability to meet the demand.
Right.
And the Chinese, under Obama, were promised Taiwan. Now, Trump, if there's one good thing Trump has been strong on, it's been his position regarding China. Maybe because he knows that China is the linchpin that Israel is using to completely bleed out the West, completely bleed out the United States, and right. then to form alliances and move all of their power shipped over to China and Russia and just leave us out to dry.
Right.
But they want our technology to do it. They've stolen it all.
Yeah, they hadn't stolen it. It was given away. The Clintons did a lot of, you know. But, I mean, that was just all part of the
given away. A lot of it was stolen through their corporate espionage.
Right.
A lot of technology has been stolen from them. And yep. Yes, they acquired through their funny money. They went and started buying up controlling interests of companies and then put the executive CEOs, chairmen of the boards that they selected, whose purpose was to destroy these companies, including Intel.
Right.
Now, why this is important, because Intel is the blue chip of NASDAQ. Okay?
Right.
And if Intel goes down, a lot of the U.S. Tech sector is going to follow suit and go down with it.
Right.
I would suspect that, I mean, if anybody has any money invested in Intel, sell it now. Now, I'm not an investment advisor.
Right.
But, you know, look for yourself. Realize that their latest chip is complete garbage, and Taiwan Semiconductor is coming out with their Phase 3 chip, I think in October, which already is blowing Intel processors away.
Okay.
And nobody wants the Intel processors anymore. And now we're talking about the servers. We're talking about the equipment that actually makes the internet run, that the corporations are concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and there's been this competition. There's been a competition to Intel over the years, but I mean,
but nothing. Intel has manufacturing capability above anybody else's standards.
Right.
We have a huge facility in Arizona that manufactures chips in Arizona. The problem is they're manufacturing chips nobody wants.
Right.
At the same time that Intel stock is taking a dive, Taiwan Semiconductor is rising through the roof because everybody's going to shift over. Which, what the plan would be is to crush Intel, move its operations, have them buy it up for pennies on the dollar, move their entire operation over to Israel, and then reintroduce a technology that they probably have had on the shelf for the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and come out with that, and then resurrect the company, and of course, the investors then make an absolute killing on the stock at that point.
Right.
But for anybody holding Intel stock right now, it's bad. And that's going to destabilize the NASDAQ. It's going to bring a lot of questions to the U.S. tech industry. Big problems are coming. You know?
Yeah.
The bigger problem is Taiwan is now a hanging chad off the coast of China, 100 miles off the coast of China. China has always considered Taiwan to be theirs. And we've been pretty ambiguous over the last 20 years
mm-hmm.
as to our standing with them. Now, Trump is alluding that he's going to honor our agreements and defend Taiwan. Now he has to, because the Chinese want Taiwan so they can get a hold of Taiwan Semiconductor and then corner the tech industry, because nothing works. No computers, no servers. The internet does not work without semiconductor production.
Right.
Especially with the new phase or the new era of semiconductor technology that is supposedly coming around, which was developed by Taiwan Semiconductor. So this is grounds for World War III. This could be so unstabilizing to the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because outside of tech, what do we have? Agriculture? You know, big deal.
No,
it's important, but you're not going to run an entire system on an agricultural, based on an agricultural economy.
Yeah. It's clear. I mean, it's pretty clear that the U.S. is being leveled,
being decimated.
It's being decimated, right?
Now we're gonna find out what's really going on here. Probably by the end of August, by my birthday, 20th of August, we'll probably know where we're going, what's going to actually happen, because this. Phase two of this COVID thing is just a precursor for what I believe the Chinese have warned the West that they're ready to release a far more serious version of this. If we attack them. Okay?
Right.
I think the deal's been put on the table. Give us Taiwan and let us do what we're going to do. Otherwise, we're releasing this... we're going to release COVID too, and that's going to be the one that kills a lot of people. This one was just, this was the baby version. Now, whether that's true or not,
that's, I mean, it's a possibility.
It's hard to say.
It's not
you know, like our, we've expounded upon the theories that some of these biological agents may not be nearly as strong or as deadly as we're told.
Right.
Because the model that they have operated on since the end of World War II is to fake it till you make it, right?
Right.
You don't necessarily have to do it. We don't have to send people to the moon. Let's just make people think we did.
Oh.
Now, that's not a glaring example about what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden pull the plug on Apollo missions. We don't go there in 40 years. And they conveniently say they lost the technology from the 1960s. Like, really? Come on.
Yeah, and
reality is never had it.
All the telemetry. Oh, we lost the telemetry data. It's what right. people sure. will fucking believe is just sick, man. They've just infantilized the minds of people to a point where it's just there's no coming back from how arrested their development is. No coming back.
See China doing like something stupid as that, is releasing a virus to do something like that? Because what's the purpose in reality? What's
right.
your purpose in doing that? Because we can wipe China off the map very, very quickly. Like, we don't have to do much to do it. Also, we have to take out their strategic oil reserves. Okay, and knock out a couple of pipelines, and they're done. We don't even really have to kill that many with direct warfare. We don't really have to hurt that many of their civilians.
Mm-hmm.
We just take out strategic industrial centers, mainly their energy sector, and their entire economy comes to a screeching halt, like, boom, right away. And there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Right.
So they're thinking, oh, you're gonna shut down our economy, so we're gonna kill half the world's population with three quarters of the world's population with releasing a bioweapon. That, fake it till you make it, and try and make everybody think they've got it.
Right.
Some people believe it's true, right? But then again, we've never seen any evidence that any of these things has ever really been as serious as they have claimed.
Yeah, from what this Kaufman guy has said, and I listen to everybody. I don't dismiss anything. I listen to everything. had a lot of time to listen to a lot of people make their claims of what they believe is happening. And, you know, with this this Koch postulate, these protocols that need to be satisfied to say that some kind of germ actually causes some kind of disease. And mm-hmm. none of it's ever been satisfied. I believe that back in 2000, I think it was 2003 with SARS was just something else that led us up to, you know, psychologically led us up to this point. You know, because these protocols have not been satisfied. This Koch, K-O-C-H-S postulates, where you know, it's a medical procedure, a scientific procedure that says, you know, and then they're still saying that it hasn't even been isolated. Like, whatever this is has not been isolated to then be able to say that it is.
No, this flies in the face of empirical evidence and science.
Right. Right.
Because none of this is being substantiated that government claims about COVID. None of it to this point, they have substantiated absolutely zero.
Right.
Remember, you buy the rumors, you sell the facts. Mm-hmm. Well, they're in the selling business, right? They're in the information selling business.
Something stinks.
What are they selling? Name one fact they've sold us to date regarding this COVID-19 thing.
Not
true. Not a single claim, not a single estimate, nothing has.
Right. Empty hospitals in the beginning. Empty hospitals in the beginning. In the hospitals
setting
where
up a
they
system
said,
where people are murdered through the medical system.
Yep. And then, you know, talking about the ventilator and Cuomo, but like, we don't have enough ventilators. And then it turns out later that they had enough to be able to kill many, many people. But then again, there are some nurses that say people are sick.
They're trying to sell them.
Right.
And the whole ventilator thing was a big scam. And it's why politicians should never be trusted. Why people would listen to them about anything. I'm not even talking about medical issues.
Right.
But anything. Talking about meteorology when a storm is coming. Like, who are they to tell people to take shelter and evacuate and do all these things they're doing? They're all corrupt. They're just lining and selling rumors and lining up their favorite constituents for government contracts.
That's it.
And then if a storm hits, the government's right there in line to declare a state of emergency, and the bank is there to process and give them emergency funds.
Right.
Fiat money out of nothing.
Right.
Of course, who pays for it? Oh, don't worry about it. In the meantime, everything is great. You know, disaster economics. A lot of people get rich. You know, hurricanes are big business.
Yeah. I give them names. Human names. They give them human names.
Yeah, look at the money that's made in Jersey if they're the hurricane had hit there 5 years ago.
Right.
Right?
When Christie was governor.
And Christie, and the amount of money that he was able to pile into his coffers.
Sure.
Okay, from all the no-bid contracts that were given, the kickbacks, the guy became a billionaire. Every governor in the country wants to have the same thing because he turned a business model into something and he just made an absolute killing.
And make no mistake.
The same thing Bloomberg in New York.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, make no mistake. Even I'm thinking, you know, you think about Murphy and you think about Cuomo being, Democrats. If Christie was here and he was still the governor, he would be doing the same fucking thing to a certain level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, look at the red states. Absolutely. Look at what's going on in Florida. Look at what's going on down by you. Look at what's going on in Texas, where Abbott fucking, you know, just completely caved in and then did what he did there. And then and it was just really you could sit back and say, all right, well, what would an asshole do when they see people opening up, you know, around Memorial Day, going out to the beaches and doing that, well, you would say, look at what you did. Now we're going to fucking target you. So they targeted Florida, right? And then all this shit. Now people are saying that, you know, they went to get tested. They couldn't get in. But then they got a call a week later saying that they had COVID. And like, I never got a test.
Yeah.
Like, you still got it.
I heard about that. Some people that got scheduled for a test, but it was, the wait was too long. So they left. And then two weeks later, they get a mail, something in the mail a week later.
Then the kid, you know, the 25 something, and his wife walking down the street, and he said, "Yeah, you know, and I didn't, you know, we were sick, but it wasn't anything that was really debilitating." And then they called up, and then the one woman was like, "Yeah, like how did you do? Like, how's your COVID going?" And he was like, yeah, you know, we got over it pretty good. And then they wanted him to embellish it. They wanted him to whatever they wanted him to say, oh, I was so sick. I thought I was going to die. That's what they, you know, that's what they want people to say. And, again, you know, it's just one thing after the next, man. Like every single one of these stories, you know, I got this Reddit feed.
There's a little secret.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody is, if anyone's ever approached by a member of the press, the so-called press, let's call them, prostitutes, about a story or a reaction, the first question that you answer the first question with a question, what's your angle?
Yeah, oh, totally.
I answer no questions until you tell me your angle. And they leave it at that. See, nobody does that. But if you do that, you know they're required to tell you.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
See, you learn things here on In Case You Missed the BS, the new normal. And what's your angle? What do you think they would say, or what do you think they would have to say?
They would, well, we're just trying to go out and get a pub. No, that's not what I ask you. What's your angle? Your angle is, what basis are you going to present my testimony or whatever, how are you going to relate this to an audience, under what angle? And they'll tell you, well, we're out, you know, substantiating the number of COVID cases or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't agree with your angle, because there are no cases. There are no real number of cases for us to be concerned about. You're full of shit. And walk away and talk to them.
Well, that's all it is. I mean, and that's why I just stopped watching any kind of news broadcast, you know, back in March into April, when we were doing record, you know, sending out talks like every 3 days, we were just talking about the developments. I stopped watching because it makes me fucking sick. It really does get me sick and angry, and I hate them.
All laws that are passed by the government are negative laws. Right?
That's right.
We've heard Clint talk about that the Constitution is a negative document. Well, the laws passed by the Congress and Senate are also negative. We just don't understand what that word means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Ed Sherini does a good job in having exposed this. In fact, I think I originally learned this from Ed Sherini years ago.
Yeah, I reached out to him, but he never replied.
The press is very... The press is has to walk a very fine line when talking to people, and it has to do with your consent. By asking them, they can't show anything if they're asked what their angle is.
Right. Well, they're the mouthpiece.
You first use your information, because if they use your information, then they could be sued. They're liable for it.
Just them, not the mothership.
Well, I mean, if they're a a CBS affiliate, then CBS would be responsible for it.
Yeah, they're all fucking liars. They've been lying for years, and they're all in sync. Remember, all in tune. We know it.
When Bush passed the law, the propaganda law, it allowed the press to be able to go and ask people and twist stories the way they want to twist the stories under the, I forgot what the name of the bill is called. Maybe you can remember. Do you remember what that bill was called? When he signed into back in like 2001?
I seem to remember something about, you know, that it was pretty just draconian and, you know, just typical.
They made propaganda legal.
Right. They just made it legal. It's like, this is what we're going to do.
It makes it only legal under certain conditions. Right now, you have to understand they're in a legal system. And so if they go and ask you a question and you don't ask the right rebuttal question right away, then it's ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law, right? They're giving you a chance to ask them the question up front. What's your angle?
Mm-hmm.
Once you ask that, they have to expose what their angle is, because they just don't go out and make it up. They're told what angles they are that need to be reported on.
Right.
This is where you see, like, reporters, and they'll be doing a story, and they're outside and on the news, and they're wearing a mask, and as soon as the camera's off, they take the mask off.
Yep.
Or the cameraman's not wearing a mask.
Yep.
And people approach the reporters and instead of accosted them.
Right.
You know, and said, oh, you know, they ridicule the reporters, which I'm not opposed to. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're propagandists. They're idiots.
That's right? All it is, yeah.
But nobody asks them, hey, what's your angle? Right? Oh, we're just trying to do a story. No, you're not. What's your angle?
You'd be like, you're not that interested in what I've got to say. You're interested in spinning. And if I don't say and play along with what your angle is, I'm not going to be on the news.
No, they'll pack up their camera and leave.
That's it.
And that's what they'll do. They'll pack up all their equipment, put it in the truck, and move away.
Yeah.
And go somewhere else where somebody's not doing it. But if everybody said, what's your angle? They'd never get a story out because they have to say what their angle is. That would make them liable what they put on their broadcast.
That's right.
So, you know, like, the press is crazy. Just ask these guys what the angle is, and you can put a stop to all this. It's really simple.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the lack of education that we have.
It's right? Completely out of control, man. One thing that was very, very positive today, that guy who does the high velocity videos and the high velocity stuff, who, you know, he loves hearing himself talk, but, you know, it's like, that's who he is. But he's been putting out some pretty good things. He put out a video of Nora O'Donnell, the lovely Nora O'Donnell, the pretty little liar, asking Bill Gates. I don't know if you, I posted that. So if you get a chance, I posted it, just go through my feed or whatever, where she's asking him, you know, she's talking about Moderna and then like all these things. And then he just starts to stammer and stutter and he starts grabbing his arm. He starts tapping his left arm. Almost like, and I'm thinking about this
he
now, like,
twitching.
Is he having
he
some
twitching.
Kind of heart
he's
thing
drinking
or something?
Coffee, slurping his coffee.
Yeah.
He's trying to buy time to think. He's completely unprepared. And he also went on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and it was basically the same thing, even though they were giving him every opportunity to try and recover from the CBS interview. Even that woman on CBS was trying to give him an out, and he just is incapable. He's way over his head.
He's a fucking sociopath.
And he came off like a buffoon, and he lost a lot of gravitas.
Wow.
This past weekend, because all those videos went, those interviews went viral.
That's right. Oh, anytime he's
and
on, they go viral.
This guy really is. He's an idiot.
He really is.
Supposed to be so smart, but he's a fucking idiot.
No, he was just born into money. That's all. Just born into money and handpicked. Like Zuckerberg and some of these other people to be the face of, you know, to be the children of the devil. I mean, he is. He's a child of the devil. He's a pedophile. He hung out with Epstein. A lot of people know it. I'm going to start sending videos and all these other different things directly to Nora. I sent, you know, I put her at Nora O'Donnell as I posted and, you know, put in there, when I sent it out. And, you know, he's just a fucking bag of shit, and the world's gonna see it. The world's gonna see it, and there's just no.
What Epstein was really all about, because him, the CEO of Intel, all of these chief executives of and board members of the U.S. tech industry
right.
for the last 30 years. What do you think Epstein was commissioned to do?
Blackmail them?
It wasn't so much the politicians that he was entrapping in his nefarious dealings. It was corporate heads like Bill Gates and others. Why do you think all the technology companies have moved over to Israel?
There you go. And I mean, you know, when they were talking about Epstein and everything, and the connection between him and Gates was, you know, that they were going to be working together on some kind of philanthropic thing, right? These fake philanthropists.
No, he was
child fuckers.
He took the bait, and once he took the bait, he was in the trap. And it was like, you do what we say, otherwise we release this. Okay? So they got him probably doing some cocaine off a hooker's ass.
Right.
Off a little boy's ass or something.
Well, Gates was in 2012 when I was at the Bilderberg barbecue. Okay. Gates was there. He was there, mm-hmm. and this was after in 2010 when he was just like a decade of vaccines. I don't think mm-hmm. it was 10 million that he, I think it was 10 billion or something. But this was, these things that they're doing have been in play now for longer than 10 years, but more so emphasized in the last 10 years with, there was actually, there's guy Eric Bolling, who was on Fox News, who had some kind of plastic surgery and looks really fucking weird, but I will give him kudos because who did he have on? He had Larry Klayman, and I downloaded that today. I'm going to get that uploaded.
Larry Klayman.
Klayman from Judicial Watch, Judicial, and Judy Mikovits. And Judy XMRV, retrovirus researcher, mm-hmm. author of Plague and Plague of Corruption, which exposes that for years they've been doing xenotransplantation, just what Clint was talking about, the xenotransplantation, putting these animal viruses into our bodies, into human bodies, where these viruses don't hurt the animal that when they're inside the animal. But of course, you know, biblically, this barrier should not have been crossed. So what do these bags of fucking shit do? They fucking cross the barrier and it causes all kinds of disease. This thing called ITP, that causes blood clotting and all these other things, which could be what we're seeing here with COVID. My cousin had a blood clotting thing. His second cousin, Tim, had a blood clotting thing his whole life. He probably got the MMR and was unlucky enough. Like Patrick said, it's these vaccines are it's not, the bad shit's not in all of them. Some of them are spiked, and so he got. It's Russian roulette. That's what vaccines are. Yeah. It's Russian roulette. If you get one and you don't get a side effect, it probably has a little bit of shit, but you're never going to be the same again. Some of them have increased levels of this shit so that they can have disease and these different things pop up in different areas, know what it is, and then make money off of it. Well, he had a blood clotting thing for a number of years. Real sweet kid. And then sometime within, I want to say, was this like 2011 or 2012, somewhere in that range, he was in New York City, and I don't know whether he was on some kind of new drugs or something, some kind of blood thinner or something to stop his blood from clotting. He got hit by a fucking bus and killed in New York City when he was up there with my other cousins who all, you know, grew up together, that mostly they grew up together and, but they were around my age or close to in that realm. But he was killed, and he had this ITP. He had the ITP mm-hmm. that she described in her in her London reel, whether it was part one or part two. The ITP, they get injected, and then the blood has a fucking coagulation issue. So he suffered for years with this shit. They are fucking. And the thing that really, really fucking aggravates me, I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing. Robert F. Kennedy, he's talking about thimerosal. He's talking about these other things. And now with Mikovits into the picture, talking about the XMRVs, you know, they need to say straight up, you're being, you know, and they do say it, but it's just like, hey, understand this is being done on purpose. They're killing you and they're destroying your lives. They're doing it on purpose. And I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing, and I hope that they do more of it.
Something that I've been saying for a long time is that when they develop a vaccine, you're dealing with epidemiologists and scientists in the creation and combining various elements that can, and in some cases are very effective at reducing diseases and things like that. There's no question about it that has happened in the scientific world. Advancements have been made,
and they probably use it for themselves. Let's be honest. The Queen and all of these people, well, this global conspiracy.
Let me finish on this, because rather than being totally anti-vax, understand that the epidemiologists, the scientists that are the researchers that are developing these vaccines, they're testing. More or less, they are testing honest compounds. All right. Once a drug is tested and clears FDA approval, then the research on that vaccine is done, and they move on to the next. Now production takes over.
Yeah. Well, there's double blind study.
Does not have to follow the same ingredients, they can substitute.
Right, exactly. So there's at some point there's going to be, even if it's done, which I don't think that it is, even if it's done with the most, and I mean, they keep on saying that there's no way that you can create a vaccine for a coronavirus. They just keep saying this. There's no any number of people that are saying
it's not work, because people would say, okay, well, what, tell me the flu shot that's worked.
Right.
Is a flu shot just addressing the previous year's strain of flu, which has already morphed into something else? So a flu shot really doesn't do anything other than to inject various compounds into your bloodstream?
Yeah, it does something. It has. I mean, they wouldn't make it if it didn't have a benefit to it. Trust me, money and probably these retroviruses or these animal viruses that they inject.
The real purpose is tracking. Which means, how do we get out of it? We get out of it through the very legal system that's trying to entrap us in to make us take it. And that is, you have to get out of the beast system by becoming a state citizen.
Okay.
And not a U.S. citizen. Because the laws that they're going to pass are only applicable to U.S. citizens.
Right.
As a state citizen, you are not compelled. They cannot force you to do it, but you have to. You just can't make the declaration, I'm a state citizen. You got to be able to prove it, and there's a legal process you have to go through to prove it.
Yeah, but I mean, can you not participate? Can you not participate in
identifications and other things? And once you've got them, the laws that are subject to the U.S. citizens don't apply to you.
Right, but Clint's been talking about it for a while. So, but the only way that you do that is you have no Social Security. You have no number,
well,
and you can't participate.
You want to take benefit, then if you want the benefit, you got to take the shot. Alan Dershowitz was totally correct in what he said. They have the right, if you're a U.S. citizen, claiming benefits from your status as a U.S. from your agency, which is your birth certificate as a U.S. citizen. And that you are property. They have the right to do whatever they want, just as you have, as you know, as an owner of a pet. You take that pet to get the shots and vaccines and other things.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many things that are happening, and you're absolutely right. We are property. We are property of this, and they can impose certain things on us. There's so much pushback going on right now. I cannot even imagine, and I said this back in the beginning, and it's definitely one of the things that, it doesn't keep me up at night, but it's definitely something that, you know, that when I think about it, it's like I definitely get heart palpitations. I mean, there's no doubt. This is physically affecting everybody. This is physically and mentally affecting everybody. You know, maybe us less so because we understood this from the very beginning. We understood back in like 2009, even though you and I didn't speak until, you know, 2012 and Oracle and everything. But we understood what that was largely back then, that this was not, you know, the H1N1 was another one of these things, was another one of these manufactured events. I thought back then was what this has become. I thought back then was what, you know, what this has happened to be this time. They backed off because apparently their vaccine, and this was Rashid Batar said that the vaccine that they had given people was just straight up killing them. So I firmly believe that there's going to be so much pushback that they're only going to be able to get people that are so afraid that will, you know, get a flu shot. They'll be like, well, in the flu shot, just get your flu shot, and that will have the COVID protection or something. And I think they really, on some level, they really have to scale it down, because even Nora O'Donnell was sitting there like with this look on her face after they got the Moderna reports back saying that. And of course, his Bill's stuttering and all that other shit that went on was no confidence boost in her concern.
She gave every opportunity to bail himself out, but he kept digging the hole deeper.
Sure.
And almost, like, you could tell she felt completely uncomfortable with it, because he's not capable of answering these very simple questions.
Sure.
And these are simple questions. These weren't even hardball questions yet.
Yeah.
He can't answer the simple ones. When somebody starts asking hardball questions, he's going to come completely unglued. So after that, that's when he went on Anderson Cooper, and Anderson Cooper tried to shame all the people that are against Bill Gates, right? Started pointing out that he's one of the most hated men in the world. These people are just crazy conspiracy theorists.
He's a piece of shit.
Bill Gates is probably right now one of the most unpopular human beings on the planet.
Yeah.
He is rightfully being compared to Pol Pot, to Hitler, Stalin. He's a mass murderer on a scale beyond anyone's belief. And he wants to be that.
I think he does, yeah.
Something that most people really can't.
Nope.
They can't relate to, like,
nope.
You know,
you're right.
I think everybody at some point in their lives thinks about something like, ooh, you know, offing somebody who's done you wrong, but not offing people you don't know.
That's true.
Bill Gates has a completely different viewpoint. Bill Gates, he lavishes the idea of causing mass death.
I believe he does. I believe he does.
Okay, so he is a really, really sick and twisted individual.
Because he wants, I mean, I think he really, truly does not like people. His inner core, a lot of people say that Melinda is more of like the male, like, and he's kind of like a female. Characteristics. And there's that. There's the possibility that is happening.
Oh, come on. You know, she doesn't, that doesn't look anything like a woman anymore.
Well, I mean, after the same person
that was posed as Melinda Gates.
Well, again, there was a picture, or at one point where when I saw her, I was just like, oh, that's his wife. You know, like, but there's somebody said something about her, like her family or where she's from, and it made some connections to European monarchy. And then, you know, then things start making sense in the realm of, you know, the children of the devil. But I mean, and then, of course, Gates's father, Planned Parenthood. He was legal representatives of Rockefeller. So this is where all this comes from. The Rockefellers are the predominant Illuminati bloodline family, and this is where Bill Gates comes from. I don't know whether there's a connection, a blood connection, or whether I think maybe Gates's mother has ties to them somehow. But I mean, you know, that's where all these families came from, and that's when they decided.
Who knows? That's when they, because Bill Gates looks nothing like either his mother or his father.
You know, I
totally physical. There's no physical resemblance between Bill Gates and his parents.
Mostly, when I look at him, I imagine my hands around his fucking neck and not letting go. That's what I picture. So I don't really. I look at his.
Usually,
face.
You have some characteristic. You'll have some characteristics of your mother or your father and your facial features.
I think I see something. I think I see something with his dad. I think I see something with his dad.
Your stance of some type. Yeah. His father was 6'5".
Yeah, his father was a giant.
A giant, right? Big, strong.
Yeah.
Big, strong, strapping man,
was,
you know?
Yeah.
He was pulled out his shoulder. And Bill Gates was a short, frail geek.
Yeah.
And his mother wasn't that way either. So, like, are you telling me that he is from the same DNA as his mother and his father?
Well, I mean, like, I think that there was a video of when he was in his early stages with Microsoft. It was Jane Pauley. And she's asking him a question, and he's sitting there with this just like this look on his face, like you just want to punch him in the face. You want to kick him in the face because he's such a pompous, silver spoon little cunt. But I guess maybe I'm biased because I want either myself or someone else to take his life, and I wouldn't be sorry about that. I think Fauci and Gates are disgusting, vile douchebags, and most people don't know who they are. And then, of course, then he's an old man. So people are like, oh, he must be brilliant. You know, that's what people give their power away because most people are so uneducated. Most people have no idea how the world works. They're uneducated, little pawn pieces, chess pieces. So they sit back and they just think, Bill Gates, he's going to use his money to save people and everything. And those people are just fucking gone, man. They're just gone. There's no coming back for a lot of these people that look at Fauci and look at Gates as
Bill Gates and something. Fauci are not respected by the real medical community, and I do not consider corporate medicine to be the real medical community. They're not
right. Well, you saw the video. Did you see the video?
Majority of medical practitioners, but I'll guarantee you, like in any other corporation, 80% of those people working for the corporate medical systems would love to be out working for themselves as a private practitioner.
Yeah.
Having their own shingle on the wall and being free. Yeah.
Well,
they see is an onslaught.
Yeah, they're being weeded out.
This is like Benjamin Rush. And I've read the Benjamin Rush quote to you before.
Yeah, if you don't put medical freedom into the Constitution, we're going to have what we have today. So,
a medical dictatorship.
Medical dictatorship.
Scientists, this is the Bastille.
Big pharma. Yep.
Science. This was warned by one of our founding fathers that we need this in the Constitution. Of course, it was not put in.
Yeah.
So when I relate that to the doctors that I speak to in my business, they're all just like, wow, I didn't realize that people were aware of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that the reason why you were able to establish a private practice, your father, your grandfather, because most doctors come from a family of medicine, medical practitioners. It's generally
it's
a family business.
It's a legacy that they just move forward. They want to take care of people. They want to do no
doctor,
harm.
I'm a doctor like my father, that kind of thing. It's very, very common.
Yeah, and do no harm, yeah.
They owe that. They owe that family heritage to Benjamin Rush.
Sure.
So to honor his memory, they need to stand and fight. That's why I believe doctors are the front lines in this war.
Well, did you see the video of the doctors?
Doing the, unfortunately, they went about it the wrong way.
What do you think they did wrong?
With some of them now, four of them now, to try and help them through the legal mess that they've created for themselves.
Well, Ericsson was part of it.
Their licenses are being threatened. The websites have been turned down, and they're being demonized. And
just by per se,
they went about it all the wrong way because they did that because they're trying to get patients to come back.
Yeah,
they've seen their practice. Their practice has fallen by 50% or more.
Right.
People are just not going back to the doctor for their routine examinations and checkups.
Yeah.
So, you expect that a certain amount of your patients are not going to show up every year.
Right.
About, 20% in general are not going to keep their appointment for their annual eye exam or dental exam or whatever, just because life happens, right? That's the cost of doing business. You try and recapture those later on. That number has dramatically increased to 60-70% of patients saying, no, I'm not coming in. And doctors have not yet realized the problem is that the American people are now suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. The same type of characteristics as people who belong to cults. Or victims of brainwashing.
That's right.
And to handle that, doctors have to be prepared. So it's one of the things we're doing now is we're training the doctors on how to talk people off the ledge. You can't validate what they're hearing. The last thing a doctor should do is validate what people are hearing in the news. And that's the mistake those doctors made in front of the Federal Reserve Bank, which why they went in front of the Federal Reserve Bank. That's really crossing the line, right? So you know the system's coming after them to make an example of them.
Yeah.
Now they can be defended, and they're going to have to take a certain posture to protect themselves.
Okay.
But doctors like that, they're heroes. They just went about it the wrong way. They threw themselves in the meat grinder.
Well,
without
everybody's
really
kind of desperate.
What they were up against.
Everybody's kind of desperate now. So anybody that does anything, even Biden's calling the Nigerian woman crazy. It's like total disrespect, and of course, the paid agitators aren't saying anything about that, right? Everything's fucking controlled.
Think about it for a second. The point I was leading to by going and talking about hydrochloroquine and zinc and the other elements that they give people that they can cure, you're actually validating the virus. And that's all true. The independent studies that have been coming out over the last 90 days, including studies from the CDC, are just the opposite.
Right.
Mortality rates less than 1%, not much worse than the flu. There's no reason with a common flu to take hydrochloroquine and zinc or any of the others.
Well, I mean,
hurt. There's no compounds in there that are going to threaten your life.
Well, they're saying that they're seeing things. They're saying that they're seeing people that have died that didn't need to die, and they're sure that the hydroxychloroquine would have saved their lives.
Yes.
So that's pretty.
Did they die in their office? Did they die under their care? They probably died within the hospital system, which anybody who goes to the hospital for anything today is really taking a chance because. The hospitals are in complete disarray as far as how they're being run. Mm-hmm. Their model has been shifted completely away from patient health, profiting off patient health and profiting off patient death.
Right.
More money in killing people from COVID than there is in making them better. So what do you think they're going to do?
It's totally demonic.
They're looking for every excuse they can to get people in, to get them into ICU and to turn them into a statistic because they're going to get paid probably for that. Far more than the cost of the average procedure, unless it's like heart disease or cancer or something. Most routine surgeries that take place, like my friend Stan's hip replacement surgery you're supposed to have, are like $15,000 procedures, $20,000 procedures. If you kill the person, you get $40,000. What do you think the hospital's going to do?
Wow.
And for people to think that, oh, they wouldn't do that. Come on. Really? What do you think?
Yeah, well, again, we're talking about...
What's infant. Your angle, man? What's your angle? We're you don't think that the infants. Hospitals are... The hospital corporations are not profit-driven? When have they ever been anything but profit-driven? They're going to go where they're going to make the most money. The That's model right. before was trying to help a certain number of people while keeping a certain number in the containment situation, meaning, you know, you condemn them to perpetual care,
right?
Which yep. means perpetual revenue for them,
yep.
which they always want. But then you have this other class of people. Now, that perpetual care and revenue stream has dried up because of everything being shut down because of COVID-19. What do you think that these hospital corporations, these hospital administrators are talking about in the boardrooms? You really think they care about the people that are coming in? Wake the hell up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's fucked, man.
These people are Mangala.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's proven it's happening right under your nose, and they're killing people. And it's like, oh, that's a really bold statement. Like, I'm just applying common sense to this. Right?
Yep.
Now, they're not stupid. They're not going to take the average 30-year-old and kill him with COVID because that doesn't make any sense. Right? There's a possibility that person can come back for additional treatments in the future, and they want to keep them around for a little while. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But for anybody over the age of 55, if you go into a hospital now, you are seriously putting your life at risk.
Because they don't do it. Need numbers, man.
Don't do it. Exactly. They're totally being driven by the profit motive. What are you worth? Are you worth more dead or alive to the hospital? Right now, you're worth more dead.
Yeah.
So they might as well kill you, and they've got the perfect excuse and the cover to do it without the recourse. Because now there's no family around to make sure that the patients are being properly treated or being cared for properly.
Yeah.
So
no oversight. Yeah.
You know, there's no oversight at all. There's no family oversight. It's all being done through nurses' aides and everything else. And let me tell you something. Most of these nurses' aides, you know, it's a really sad state of affairs. It's the reason why they've brought this whole separation between men and women and rising, you know, turning women into these radicals, is that they have juiced their nature, their feminine nature, and put it on steroids. And now they've turned these average women, in exchange for a couple of dollars they give them, these women are willing to do almost anything. And I mean anything. Not all. I have seen several videos that have been pulled by nurses' aides and others that have been warning us since March. They're killing people in the hospitals. And then they go after those people, shut their videos down, right? And you don't hear anything anymore. There's no investigation. There's no district attorneys or anybody speaking and asking to talk to these people. Not that I'm aware of. Have you heard anything about that?
Mm.
The legal system, the justice system is completely taking a blind eye to numerous claims by healthcare professionals that murder is being committed on a wide scale. Nobody says anything? And it's happening all around the world simultaneously, which gives it even more cover.
Yeah, it's part of the drill.
What's the angle, though? We'll ask ourselves the same question. What do we think the angle is? If you ask me my personal thing. A, the financiers wanted to get their payoff they've been waiting for 40 years. They got it. Right?
Yeah.
Crashed the market. They came in, bought up a bunch of corporate bonds and assets for pennies on the dollar. Government came in, guaranteed those corporate bonds, $100-something. They've redeemed those things now. They made a really, really nice profit. Trillions of dollars today.
Right.
The boys in Goldman Sachs, this is the best year ever. But it's something they've been waiting for since the 1970s. So no surprise there. They got what they were promised. Now the ramifications come the aftermath of this. The aftermath of having to protect and preserve the system from going into complete chaos. Right? There's a whole group of people that benefit from that. The entire security, the security industrial complex. Okay?
Right.
The vaccine industry. These are all the secondary markets that come in, and now it's their turn to benefit because the financiers got their taste of it. Okay?
That's right.
And the Chinese are like, hey, we gave you this opportunity. We took all of your inflation from you. We took things from you we didn't really want. We had no business. All right? We destroyed our ecology for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In exchange for, we want Taiwan. We want a seat at the table. We want this. And now it's all being, you know, it all gets disrupted.
Yeah.
So here we are, like, on the cusp of literally thermonuclear war. If nuclear bombs exist, which I don't believe they do, I think what happens is big bombs are going to be going off in ports and oil depots in China, and there's going to be stuff like terrorist attacks, real terrorist attacks that take place here, but I don't see them being centered at U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens, U.S. citizens are the dumbest people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Point of blowing up their shopping malls for what?
Right.
If anything, you're shooting yourself in the foot, because if you're China, you're selling all your crap to us that we're stupid enough to pay for.
Right.
Right? So, like, yeah. Oh, don't shoot your customers. That's not a really good idea. So who do you want? It's not the customers that are your issue. It's the corrupt people in certain places, i.e., it's the Bill Gates of the world. It's this triangulation. It's why Epstein was brought in by Waxner and the rest of them. You know?
That's right.
So, like, you set up this thing and go after, and if things get bad, then he probably always knew at some point that if things got out of hand, they were going to target him and put the blame on him, that he was going to take the fall, they were going to throw him under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody probably said, listen, if that doesn't worry, if that happens, don't worry, we'll stage your death, and you go live over in Israel.
That's right.
Yeah. No big deal. We'll give you a new identity, and you can have all the little, you can have all the 10-year-old boys you want, or 10-year-old girls, or whatever you're into.
Right.
Right. Don't worry. There's tons of them over there. You can go out for lunch every day with Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, and everybody else that supposedly died.
Yeah, you can. You know, all the ones that supposedly that they conveniently died in jail or whatever are supposedly sitting in a jail that no one's seen or heard of in years.
Right.
Do you think if Bernie Madoff really was in jail that he would not have done, at this point, hundreds of interviews?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, he made off with the gold, right? So you all know the whole story was bullshit. It was fake. He never existed.
Just another one.
I worked in New York for years. I never heard of the fucking guy. Ever heard of him. And supposedly, like, oh, everybody in New York heard of him. I didn't start hearing about him until they started drumming up this whole thing about a scandal. That's when I heard about him. Before that, I never heard of the guy.
So just another
and anybody
straw man.
I ever asked, they never did either.
It's another straw man the system creates.
Of course, it was a complete fraud. It was a completely staged event, and millions of billions of dollars was given to people with no questions asked, because supposedly they were hurt by him, and they didn't even have to prove they were. Same deal. It always goes to this certain group of people. Usually they're over in Israel, right?
Yeah.
Or people that want to go over there or whatever. So, they play these perpetual scams on us, and we fall for it every time because we're so afraid to be called a name. Names paralyze us, right? Oh,
that's right. Yeah. Labels.
Like, just stop, like, being afraid. And just stand up and say, it's just a freaking word. Yeah. Right? It doesn't mean anything. You don't even know what it means yourself. You can't even describe it yourself. Because if you honestly described it, it's not something about, it has nothing to do with me. It has totally everything to do with you. That's just your way of trying to freeze and compel people to stop doing what they're doing or stop talking about the truth or whatever it is. Because you don't like what they're saying, not because they don't like whatever ethnic or religious background you come. Who cares? Nobody cares about anybody's religious or ethnic backgrounds. It's just stupid. Yeah. 99% of the people on this planet don't care what you look like. What they do care is whether you're an asshole or not. All right? Don't tell me that because you are made up of a certain ethnic background that I have to excuse your being an asshole. Because if you're an asshole, I ain't going to like you. I don't care what your background is.
Yeah.
There's plenty of white people who are assholes. There's plenty of black people who are assholes. There's plenty of assholes in every ethnic group. All right? Keep them the fuck away from us. We just want to deal with the cool ones, okay? I have no problem with people who are Jewish, who leave us the hell alone, who just want to be left alone to do what they do for themselves, but are not out to screw everybody. They're out there. They exist.
It's true.
You know?
True story.
Unfortunately, most of them are too scared to come forward because of the Masira law they live under.
Yep.
I've explained that and other things. If people know what it is, look it up. And Masira law is the code that they're all taught in Hebrew school that says that it's a crime against the Jewish people to expose Jewish criminality to non-Jews.
Yeah.
So the punishment for exposing criminal behavior of Jewish people to non-Jews is dealt with more severely than the criminal behavior itself. So what do you think? And this has been drummed into these people's minds since they were children. You think they're just going to like, oh, I have a conscience now.
Well, it's just a system.
They're brainwashed. They're just brainwashed.
It's a system like everybody else where they have their negative programming that makes them who they are. The Catholics, they have their negative programming that makes them believe, that makes them look at the Pope and hope to just, grab a piece of his garment, as he passes by. Sick, just sickness. It's a mental sickness. But it works. Mm-hmm. Largely it works. And then, of course, then there's the people.
Yeah, but at least say one thing about the Catholics, though, right? Because I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
At least we have the ability to speak up.
Right.
We're not condemned or punished by the church for condemning or criticizing our leaders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Like, nobody is defending the Pope. Nobody's saying that this Pope is a good guy. Good Catholics are out there saying that this is probably one of the worst popes we've ever had in history.
Yeah.
But the church is bigger than the Pope. Pope's reign only lasts a few years. The church is eternal. So, you endure it because it's God's plan. Right? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
The Jews, on the other hand, no such rules exist. There is no debate. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You are not a Pharisee. You are not of the hierarchy of the order, all right, which is basically just it is a feminine ideology. It's not even a religion. It's an ideology. And if you dare
mm-hmm.
question the rules that have been set down upon you, then you are shamed. You mm-hmm. are condemned. The penalty for going against the system as a Jew is you're expelled. Not in your own community. They network with all the other synagogues and all their other network organizations, whether it's through ADLs and others. You get on their blacklist and you are shut off completely. All privileges granted to people who are Jewish is cut off from you, including your family, because your family will shut you off. And most people, I don't care if they're Jewish or not, that's a very, very big price. Only the bravest amongst average people can stand up against something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And most just don't understand it. They think, well, the Jews, well, they have to, well, you know, think about the price of that. And that's why they stay silent. That's why, and I know a lot of good Jews. I was talking to an old buddy of mine from high school a week ago,
Yeah.
A Jewish guy. And we were talking about this. And he's just like, I can't say nothing. He's like, Greg, you're totally right. But, while my mother's alive, I can't say nothing.
Yeah, well.
Because it'll break your heart and all that. And, it's like,
Paul,
listen, I understand, His name is Paul. I'm like, Paul, listen, you and I are cool. We've been cool since we were 8 years old. Yeah?
Yeah.
Hung out together, played hockey together. All that's He's a good friend. I haven't hung out with him since high school. You know, but we've talked on the phone once in a while, and then he just called me out of the blue last week, you know. Hey, Q, what's up, man? What are you doing? You know? And we were talking about the state of the world. His business, he started a business with beach towels, like these anchored beach towels to the sand. It's kind of a cool thing.
Anchored beach towels. There's a towel. There's something out there where the sand goes right through it.
In the wind.
There's one now where the sand, if the sand gets on this covering, it goes right through. It just kind of goes right through to the bottom. That's what they're selling now. So,
right.
I mean, not the Jews. The Jews aren't selling it. Somebody's
selling it. You've spent a lot of time on the beach. You have your windy days.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And in windy day, when you put a dry towel down on the sand, sometimes you're chasing your towel.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
He developed a towel with these anchor systems that you can push into the sand so the wind won't blow your towel away. It'll stay nice and flat and clear.
Nice.
It won't bunch up, wrinkle on you. It's really a comfortable thing. Well, the beach business has been shot in the foot. Sure. His sales have dropped like 70%.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Every aspect.
And here's a guy. He's not one of the clan. He's just, you know, he's just like, geez, you know, I this was a great idea. My sales were really strong for a year, and now they're in the toilet.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, they will, you know. It's like certain people are not getting. They're not going to
Tel Aviv.
Yes.
Your tiny had Italian friends. It messed up your shit.
Right.
You know, you need to go complain to them.
Maybe he'll get a bailout. Maybe he'll get a bailout. Yeah.
He did get a nice loan from the government for the bailout thing, right?
Okay, right?
But he's like, still, he'd rather be making sales. He'd, you know, this isn't fun.
Yeah, yeah, none of this is fun. And again, it's and I think they're right when they say it's a, you know, this is the new normal. They're just destroying everything, and they're just overreacting and doing exactly what I mean. And who's standing up? The doctors are standing up. You figure it at some point the doctors are going to say, and they have.
They're starting to.
And then they start getting punched in the face.
They have to because they're starting to realize that if they don't stand up, that they're not going to be in business for another, in 12 months, 6 to 12 months, they're out of business. So you better stand up and fight because you have nothing left to lose now. So you might as well go for it.
And I mean, with politicians, what are the politicians there like? I mean, I sit from day in and day out. You know, I'll tune into Ron Paul Report or something, and they're talking about the COVID tyranny and all that other shit. Where the fuck is Rand Paul saying we can't destroy the fucking economy? We have to open up. Trump's not doing anything. Massey, who's a senator down in Kentucky. He's friends with them, but nothing's being done. Nobody's doing anything.
I'll tell you there, as a senator, as anybody in the political class right now, they're all being told by their overlords to shut the hell up.
You can say
a few things, but you're not going to address this in it because this goes way above their pay grade.
This is
the 4D chess world, the grand chessboard. Theory that we're talking about here. This is the culmination of 75 years of game theory and intelligence agencies run amok, destroying and infiltrating all business avenues of business.
Yeah.
And the business world community felt for it. I've told you dozens of times about the story of in the oil industry, the anti-frackers were funded by the oil industry. Why?
Yeah.
Why would the oil industry give money to the people that are trying to put them out of business? Now you know why. It's to create this radical confusion, right? To create imbalance and chaos at every step of the way. Not only does it paralyze the people on the opposition side, it also paralyzes people on the other side because they don't know what moves to make. They can't make honest businesses decisions because now they're paralyzed because they have to be concerned about social justice issues, corporate governance, aren't we in business to make a profit? Aren't we in business to have a nice living for ourselves, our shareholders, and deliver quality services that our customers want and need? And at that, we give them what they want. We automatically get what we want. The concept of business is thousands of years old. It's serve your customers. Provide your customers with the best products and services you can, and you will prosper, and you'll have wealth, and you'll live a decent life. Well, most of these oil executives and business executives on for every corporation now, they're way beyond living a good life.
That's right.
You know, their compensation packages are golden parachutes, and their stock options that they're selling into this market, right? They made millions of dollars. How are they in any way like, oh, woe is me? They never have to work another day in their lives if they don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, we largely need to, you know, it has to deal with the people that are being affected the worst.
50 years ago, this was not the case. People defended their reputation and defended their communities, right? Their employees were part of their families. You know,
yeah.
CEOs would have Christmas parties in their houses, and they would invite employees to come to their home, all their employees to come to their house for a Christmas party. And that happened today. Because the CEOs understood it's not our company, it's theirs. They're the ones who are producing. They're the ones who are doing the manufacturing, the work, right?
Right.
So we operate as a family, not as, sure, we're a business, but we're all in it together. And the employees at one point were, especially the good employees, they were considered vital to the business and the shareholders. Today, it's all been completely thrown on its head by this, you know, through industrial espionage, through this secret society,
right,
you know, which is secret service agencies and all that. Nobody knows who, what. You can't trust anybody now.
That's right. Yeah, we are complicit in crimes against humanity, not only here, but all around the world.
Yeah.
As well,
and
as
each of us are
Pelosi.
Each of us are guilty, and each of us is guilty in participating in the system, right? Which makes us a party to the crime itself,
right?
You know,
it's
envious to like people like Clint that have like disconnected from it, that want to like, I don't want any part of it. It's admirable, but how do you live? How do you eat? How do you survive? Right.
That's true. Yeah.
There is a way to navigate through it and do it the right way. I'm trying to.
It truly is the mark of the beast. I mean, it's, you know, if you participate in it, you're...
Well, I'm trying to get doctors to become genuine influencers now. That's what they have to do. And
sure,
if they step up and start reaching people in their community and start giving them the facts about COVID-19 and other diseases and vaccines and other things in an honest way, then the system will collapse because they're counting on this medical dictatorship.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the cornerstone of their plans moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So yeah, this is a war, and they're the front lines. They're the front line soldiers. And they need people in the community to stand up for them, like these doctors. These doctors, we'll see. I mean, I haven't personally talked to one of my guys that's spoken to four of them already.
Yeah.
And was telling me, like, yeah, they're very interested in talking with us and all that. And my question is, when I get them on the phone, and hopefully I'll be talking to them like some point by next week, is what the hell will you think? Why would you go in front of the Federal Reserve Building and put yourself into that position the way that you have? Doesn't make any sense. What you needed to do was to structure your practice as a private membership association, convert your patients to members, and then you can say whatever you want.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
And let the results speak for itself. And then you don't have the restrictions that you would if you're operating under the systems of the system of licensing and everything else. It's a really way. It's a simple way to do it.
Right.
Now you cause a whole bunch of problems, and now the system has no choice but to go after you. Because the last thing they want is thousands, if not millions, of private practitioners around the country to get a hair up their ass and think they can do the same thing.
Well, what we need is the military to friggin', you know, overthrow this shit. In addition,
well,
in addition,
there probably
to the doctors
are people.
Doing.
There always are people behind the scenes that we don't know about that handle these things quietly in the past.
Needs to be done, man. They need to take out Gates. They need to take Fauci out. This Redfield guy needs to, you know, he needs to be taken out. And I don't mean for a good, nice steak dinner. It's time that these people need
people
to.
Out, you've got to go right to the head of the snake. You've got to go to the Rothschilds. You've got to go to the Kissingers. You got to go to, you know, the Soroses of the world. You got to take them out. So we know who our enemy is. Why aren't we doing something about it? Why are these people living?
Well, they're minions. Their minions need to be. Their puppets need to be. You know, the strings need to be cut, shot. All, you know, they.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yes, that includes the Faucis, the Gates, the people like that, the endless politicians, governors, county executives, city managers, everybody that's following this new agenda.
I mean, Fauci was sitting there at that baseball game. He could have been his melon could have been split in half.
Right.
But the guy walks around freely. This criminal.
We got Navy. We got Navy SEALs and Special Forces. Somebody could have been a mile away or way up on the top on the other side of the stadium.
Done.
Not even. Boom. Done.
Fauci fucking murdered at the fucking baseball game.
Why isn't that done?
I think people would clap.
No, it was announced that he was going to do it.
I think people would clap. Mm-hmm. I know I would.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a good guy. He's not a good guy. He's a minion of the city. He could be blackmailed. Whatever. The only thing that's going to stop this is taking the people out, taking the people that you can see out and sending a message to the people that are have put them in place to do what they're doing. Okay. Rockefellers need to be exposed. Anybody. I don't even think that David is, I don't think he died. I think he's somewhere. Because what,
maybe
he just died within a year ago, within the last couple of years? Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
We don't know. We don't know.
But these guys need to be taken
out. You know,
out,
going
man.
After
perks,
the foundations and changing a few laws and storming the beaches in Tel Aviv and overthrowing the Bolsheviks. That's where they are. They're Bolsheviks. Yeah, take them out.
Burks, she's got to go.
You know, 100 years that these people have been ruining the world, it's time for them to go.
Burke's got to go.
And that doesn't mean going in and wiping out all the people who call themselves Jews. Just take out the Bolsheviks and say, if you know what's good for you, right, you're gonna play fair and honestly. And believe me, they will. But as long as, like, hey, we got it good, nobody's coming after us, the whole world's afraid of us. What are we afraid of? They're cowards. There's nothing to be afraid of. Now, in our system, they come at you with the system. The system is something to be feared, right? But they always do it under the guise of the system, right? So do it the same way. Play the same hand that they've been playing on us for 100 years, for 200 years.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to take them out.
For 2,000 years. Play the same hand on them.
Somebody's got to take them out, man. Fauci, Gates, Burks, Redfield, the CDC, reduce that place to rubble, man.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I just watched a video one of my 80-plus-year-old buddies sent me. He said, you know, it was a video saying, you know, de Blasio's Manhattan, and then everything's all boarded up. Like, everything's all boarded up. You know, some of the high-priced stores, some of the main, you know, name stuff, which I don't really care about, but it's just like, boom, they're all, like, boarded up.
His buddies are going to come in and buy up Manhattan for pennies on the dollar. And then they're going to juice the market again, and they're going to get rich. You know? Washington's repeat. They're pulling the same sham, just on a bigger scale.
And then their mercenary armies of retards will be if they start coming into town and start thinking that they're going to burn shit or blow shit up, they'll be fucking executed in the street. Right now, they're using them. They'll be executed in the street if in the future they decide that they think that they're going to do something, that they're going to do what they've been what's been happening in Portland and some of these other cities. That Lori Lightfoot, God, where the fuck did they get her? I was just, I tweeted out today. I said, first friggin' hey, Rahm Emanuel.
Before you get started.
Yeah.
I have to run to the bathroom real fast. So yeah, talk for 2 minutes. I'll be sure, right back. Good. Okay.
Yeah. So this this Lori Lightfoot, you got Rahm Emanuel, who becomes the mayor of Chicago, freshly out of the Obama administration. And then this Lori Lightfoot, where the fuck did she come from? This Beetlejuice looking friggin' alien woman. Serious. These people need to be taken out, man. They need to be taken out. Burks, Fauci, Redfield. The CDC needs to be reduced to rubble. Obviously CNN. News in general. You know, it's just they're lying. They just it's lying. Everything is a lie. And they're using the CBS, ABC, NBC affiliates, Fox affiliates, to just spread fear of death and COVID, which is, you know, 0.25. And it goes down to much lower in the different age groups. Zero, I think it's, what is it, zero to 24 years of age. I mean, walking down the street, you got a one in like 500 chance of dying just walking down the street. And some of these numbers for these different age groups are in that realm. It's just, you know, this is, you know, we've been talking about this for years, you know, since 2012, Greg and I, and just largely talking about the move. What's it going to look like when all this shit goes down? What's it going to look like? Well, we see it now. We see what it looks like.
Okay.
It's a pandemic. It's some virus, some something that hasn't really truly been isolated yet. And here it is. And they're overreacting to it. We're never going to be the same again. Treating it like, you know, this 1918 Spanish flu, which I don't really believe that, you know, 50 million people died. I don't believe that many people died. But they, you know, they equate it. What was it that Rainbow? I think there's this book called something Rainbow, where they're saying that all of these different periods in time where different energy or radar or sonar or something that was implemented into society caused people to get sick more.
Yeah, but frequently. The problem with that theory with the Spanish flu.
Right.
The Spanish flu was rampant in rural areas, like in West Virginia,
yeah.
Kentucky,
and it went
Indiana.
From what, in Kansas or something, that to fucking South Africa.
There was no RF technology in those areas in those days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they said that, you know, it started in
but
one,
you know,
area
what?
Of the world, and then like in Africa, it was people started getting it. So how would they didn't even have the ability to move, you know, people weren't moving about in the way that we move about today, air travel and everything.
Right,
so how
me,
the fuck did that
let
happen?
Let me back you up, sure. Because we're not thinking about one thing. What was the common denominator that affected primarily rural areas 100 years ago, the turn of the century? The airplane. The airplane allowed the delivery of pesticides to be delivered by air. And there was massive spraying that was going on. For instance, the polio outbreak
DDT, right?
Has since been proven to have been the DDTs and the other chemicals they were spraying to defeat the gypsy moth infestation.
But they made it out to be a virus.
They gave it a name and said, "Oh, this is a disease." What in reality was, it was a reaction to chemical contamination.
And they knew that.
And when the spraying stopped, the disease stopped.
But then
they came out with a vaccine.
And then they said, DDT in it.
Yeah, the polio vaccine stopped polio. That we prevented polio. And that was the mean. You know, that's what they ran with because that's the story they came up with. And that's what they did to justify going deeper into biological warfare.
And then, of course, maybe that was the reason why they did that, knowing that there was going to be some kind of reaction to it. They would call it a virus. They would create a vaccine that would have the simian 40 monkey virus that caused cancer, that fucked up the body. Because it was an animal virus, should not be inside of us, but they, you know, this is what these fucking sick pieces of shit do, and then Saban and Salk get all these fucking, they're just so amazing.
Where do you think companies like Monsanto and Bayer got their start? They got their start in pest
Agent
control.
Orange. Yeah, fucking Agent Orange and shit, right?
No, Monsanto goes long before Vietnam.
Right.
100 years before Vietnam, what was the primary concern of the agricultural society back then? Was we're losing 30% of our crops to pest infestation. Oh, we've got the solution to that. How do you deliver those pesticides to crops? Airplanes. Right at the time when airplanes were starting to be mass produced, that's when we had the Spanish flu. And what were the airplanes delivering? Pesticides. So it wasn't flu. It was a reaction. The chemicals they were spraying, because too many people in farming in rural areas around the country were devastated by it. And the cover to protect these Monsantos and the other companies that were developing these chemicals was to call it a virus.
Right.
And that's the story they ran with, and that's the story that stuck. Once the establishment says this is how it is, that's what goes in the history book, and that's what's taught to children for generations.
Mm-hmm.
When you have people just talking about the Spanish flu, and it's like, no, you idiot, the Spanish flu was the same as polio. Right.
There you go. It's making more sense. This one guy was they've been talking about this book about, you know, energy, and of course they're saying 5G makes the cells detox, cause all kinds of stuff. Check your Telegram message there.
Oh, okay. Message.
And so that makes a lot of sense, man. That makes a lot of fucking sense, man. Because they're doing it today with the chemtrailing, the chemtrail geoengineering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the same model, the same business model. It's like, oh, well, we can just spray it from a higher altitude.
Yeah.
And do the things that we want to do. They've been guinea pigging us for years, and it's like, it doesn't matter. We're the commoners. If we die, what's more important? You know?
Right.
Thousands or millions of young human beings dying, or increasing the crop yields.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the corporations have always been in control. I mean, if you read History of Great American Fortune from Gustavus Myers and Triumphant Plutocracy from Richard Pettigrew,
mm-hmm.
you'll know what the history of the country is, and nothing has changed.
Yeah.
That's really how the system has been run. It's always been run this way. And it there's no difference today. We haven't evolved. Just right. The level of sophistication for confusing common people and distracting common people more sophisticated. That's it. That's the only advancements that have been made.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the world. And they're doing what they're doing because... I mean, now there's more means for us to communicate with each other, to express ideas like we're doing,
yep.
and get these things out there. And that's what's making them upset. But in the end, they're looking at it as, well, if they can minimize that and compartmentalize that to a minority of people,
right?
Then it's okay. Because we can always classify them as weirdos, extremists, conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, man. for
they'll
the
triangulate people that way
for the ad hominem attacks. You know what they're doing to the woman, the African doctor. Well, the thing is, I sent the video to someone, you know, that, let's just say somebody pretty important financially to me. I sent it to, there was a group conversation, and I said, hey, what did you think of that video that I sent you? And he was just like, yeah, I meant to get back to you on that, blah, 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 blah. So we had a brief conversation about that, because, you know, you get that there's some people that are like, that get, that they're on the cusp, that they actually can critically think about something. And I think, you know, this person is on the cusp of understanding, things, you know, questioning things that are being said, questioning why this and why that. And it's kind of refreshing, but you don't want you don't want to go too fast with some people, because you lose them. Because it's such powerfully negative information.
Powerfully negative information.
that people can, you can lose them really fast, because their cognitive dissonance kicks in, and they're just like, nah, they won't allow themselves to understand that this is.
Well, one thing we have to do also, we have to get away from using their terms.
True.
And call it really what it is. We're all suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. You know what that is.
Yeah, that's right.
The abusers have fallen in love with their oppressors.
That's right.
All right. We're looking for that. We're told that the abuse will stop if we follow along with the script that's being presented to us. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Everybody who's defending the system knows the system is broken.
Well, here's the thing that's going to sound a little bit, that's going to make some people say, on some level, the people that they're paying, the rioters and everything, they're near almost correct about their oppressors. Like you said, we have Stockholm Syndrome. So these people see the U.S. as an oppressive system. And they would be, correct me if I'm wrong, true or false, the U.S. is an oppressive system.
No.
Look at what's happening now. These guys won't even do anything.
Of all systems. Not anymore. Today, now it's far more oppressive than it used to be.
Right. But we knew that this is where things were going. We knew that low level, low scale, that they've been planning this for a number of years, that they were planning to steal all of this money, and they bought all of the, I mean, it is Babylon. It has provided a lot of things for, I mean, you know, you took advantage of it in your younger days, and you made a lot of money, and it's been, but at the, you know, it's not Mao's China. Obviously, it's not that, but on some level, it is an oppressive system, because you've got these politicians now, senators, congresspeople, that are doing absolutely nothing. They're doing absolutely nothing to stop the economic destruction. They're doing nothing.
No, they get paid for standing by. They're looking as they're outsiders. They're not commoners themselves. They've absolved themselves as the middle manager class.
That's right.
Right? They're basically the house niggers. And they're going to be taken care of.
Like
that's what they believe. Now, not all of them are.
Babylonian
benefactors. A lot of awakening, because they're going to be tossed out as sacrificial lambs.
Right.
They're going to be thrown under the bus.
Right.
But like I told you, I mean, I was told about this 28 years ago, what was going to happen now. I told you.
Right.
8 years ago, my friend Murray told me that between 2018 and 2020, because that's the sweet spot for getting all the pension fund and the 401k money. That's going to represent the biggest pot of gold ever.
That's right.
At that time. Mm-hmm. And the plans they got, it's going to happen, and no one's going to stop it. That's like, wow, this whole, you know, I was like, how could they do it? He threw me the Buttonwood Tree agreement. So read it. Yeah. It's a Tontine agreement. It's a scam. It's, you know, three card Monty.
That's what
it is. It's a shell game. That's all this is. It's all it's ever been. It's all it's ever going to be.
The parasite.
If you're, you know, he told me if you're in this industry to be moralistic, you're in the wrong business.
Mm-hmm.
Not for you.
All right, so final powerful words.
I came into it at a time. It was post-1987 when they were juicing the market. They really had to juice the market. They had pumped up the IPOs. They got a lot of people in. And it was a glorious time. Glorious time to make money. It was like you were a crack dealer. You know? It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But then they started edging that off. And I remember going in at that point, I was working with Fidelity. And Robert Rubin came in. He was Secretary of Treasury and a Secretary of the Treasury. Treasury under Bill Clinton. He came in and said, party's over. You guys, things are going to change. You're going to be used to the new normal. Right? It's not going to be like the way it was. What it meant was they were pulling back on the juice, the heroin they gave to the market from like 1989 through like 1995, 1996.
Right. So sum it up, and you got 30 seconds.
Told it was all going to come to an end, and then bam, the Asian when the Taiwan bot collapsed, and the Asian currency crisis. You know, the George Soros. You know, like, speculating on the devaluation of the British pound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that front story. All this was planned out well in advance, and everybody takes their places.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the plan. My friend Murray, when I was with Bear Stearns, said 2018 to 2020, this has all come to a screeching halt because that's...
There is only one holistic system of systems.
I will MK Ultra, ya. Put the MK scope on ya. If the MK hits you, it's guaranteed to open ya. The 57mm Mark 110, 220 rounds a minute, try to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list, that's retarded babble. Protesters make the hit list soon as they start to rabble. They are nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary. For the corporation selling weapons to them. Any potential competitor step into them. I'm authorized to knock them out and stick a GPS into them. They want to sell uranium to Iran. That's enriched, that's a bitch. Now we gotta teach a lesson to them.